Wonderful, ladies. Thank you so very much. Beautiful. Everything's been just wonderful here. If you take your Bibles, please, and turn with us to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. I went to my parents' house, and while I was there, they were going to be later than I was, and I was going to get back before they would, and they were going over a few things with me, and one of the things that they told me was the code to punch in on the garage door. And, you know, I'm listening to instructions from my parents, you know. As children, we always pay attention to our parents, don't we? All children pay attention to their parents. And, you know, I heard exactly what they said. I couldn't remember it, that's right. And so I thought I remembered it, and I'm, you know, pushing this code and enter, and nothing happens. That code and enter, and nothing happens. This code and enter, nothing happens. I'm standing outside, you know, just feeling pretty stupid, you know, actually. And why didn't I write it down? Why didn't I write it down? These are, you know, some final instructions. Some final instructions. If I had just written it down, I could have pulled out the little piece of paper, punched it in. So what I have a cell phone, so I called, and I had to humble myself and say, I'm sorry, I forgot what you said. And they gave me the code, punched it in, worked just fine, worked like a charm. John chapter 15, this passage is taken historically in the chronology of what's happening with our Savior. In John chapter 14, they've been in the upper room. John chapter 15, at the end of verse 14, he said, let us go hence. And they're on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane as he's giving these instructions in John 15. You know what happened in the Garden of Gethsemane? The betrayal, the arrest. Jesus is taken to Pilate and all of that that went on. Jesus knew all these things. This did not take Jesus by surprise. And so he's giving last-minute instructions. I don't know about you, but I know that when someone gives last-minute instructions, that's important. And the disciples may not have realized how important it was, but thank God the Holy Spirit recorded the instructions for us. And this is good. This is one of these passages that you can just take and wring out. You ever have a chamois? You know, you dry a car with a chamois. It's amazing how much water that thing can hold. You know, you just keep wringing it out. That's what John 15's like. You keep wringing out this chapter, and God keeps blessing you with wonderful showers of blessings. John 15, let's begin reading, please, in verse 1 through verse 16. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, neither except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another." John 15 goes on and leads into John 16 some more wonderful things of the Lord's warnings, and John 17 his prayer, truly the Lord's prayer. Not the model prayer, but the Lord praying. And just some very rich passages here in the Word of God. But tonight, I'd like us to focus on this thought. Why Christians are joyful. Why Christians are joyful. We sang, "I have the joy, 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 joy down in my heart." I've heard the word joy in several of our songs that we've had this evening. The Bible has a lot to say about joy. Joy is different from an ocean or a pond, or it's kind of more like a spring. It's over and over from up from within. Happiness is based on happenings. Joy has its own power source. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 8 says that we have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Nehemiah 8 verse 10 says, "The joy of the Lord is our strength." The joy of the Lord. Psalm 126 verse 5, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy." Luke 15 verse 7 talks about that there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Job 41:22 says that our sorrow will be turned into joy. Psalm 51 verse 12, David, he said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." The Bible has a lot to say about joy. Joy sets us apart from the world. Joy is something that God puts within. We cannot make up joy. We cannot somehow manufacture it. I'm told that now they've got, you know how they have copy machines? You can take a document and put on the glass and copy it. I've never seen one of these machines I'm going to tell you about, but I'm told by people that I trust that they exist. There are actually machines now that are copiers that, just like you can send something from your computer, an electronic document, you can send the dimensions and everything 3D about an object, and it'll produce a plastic thing. You know, a shape, a plastic gun, plastic, you know, all kinds of different things. And they can make this. You know, they can make everything under the sun in this world, but they cannot make joy. Joy comes from God. And Christians have the right to have that joy that comes from our God. And I believe for three reasons. Three reasons we're going to see in this passage, because of our changed fruit and our church family and our chosen future. Let's look, please. The Bible talks about fruit all throughout this passage. Verse 2, the Bible says, "Every branch in me that beareth not," what is it? "Fruit he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, they may bring forth more fruit." And on throughout this passage. And in verse number 5, it says, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, the same bringeth forth much fruit." Much fruit. Because of our changed fruit. You know, someone that gets saved, they look back at their old life. They look back at the things that held them bondage, held them hostage, held them in slavery. The Bible talks about how sin can hold a person, cords of sin. And many times young people are told this, you try anything once. And if you just do something once, it's not going to harm you. It's kind of like an illustration I used to do with young people. I used to take a piece of thread and get the strongest guy in the youth group. And I'd have him come up there and I'd say, you know, if someone yields to a temptation and they commit a sin and they think, I can handle this, I can stop anytime I want. And I'll take that thread and I'll wrap it around his wrist like handcuffs. And I'll wrap it around and just tie it. And I'll say, now, tell me something. Do you think you can break out of that? He says, sure. I said, prove it. Boom! he breaks out of it. That's just like a person who says, you know, I can do something once and I can take it or leave it. But you know, there's an addictive property to all sin, not just alcohol, not just drugs. But there's an addictive quality to all sin. And I asked him to stick his hands out again. And I take that same thread and I wrap it around. And then a second time and a third time and a fourth time and a fifth time. It's just thread. A sixth time, a seventh time. And then I tie it. I say, okay, now break out of that. And much like Samson, when he didn't have God's power on him, he could not break free. It's amazing the power of sin and the fruit of sin that we are ashamed of. We look back in our life before Jesus Christ, and we see the change that he makes in our life, the changed fruit, fruit that remains, the Bible talks about, in the way that we live in verse 5 and verse number 8, much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. What we live for, what we lean on, what we lean on. I'm thankful that this book right here, the Holy Word of God, is something we can lean on and it will never let us down. The perfect Word of God. There are two things in this world that will last forever. Two things. One of them is not the national debt. Two things in this world that will last forever. That is the Word of God and people. People. The Word of God and people. If we invest our lives in those two things, we'll have eternal rewards that will last forever. What we lean on and the way that we love. Look at verse number 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Our love should change. The things we love and how we love should change. The world only knows how to love if you love me. If you love me back. Do you know that God loved us before we loved him, before we could love him, before we had any desire to love him? God still loved us. It was totally one-sided. True love can only be known by the action that it prompts. That's why John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he felt." No, it's not what it says. "For God so loved the world that he gave." An action. Love can only be known by our actions. Sacrifice, giving for others. Our changed fruit. The Bible talks about here in this passage, changed fruit. Notice in verse 1 of our chapter here, notice something interesting. Jesus said, "I am..." And if you study, do a study on the I ams that the Lord gave, that's a wonderful study. And he says here, "I am the true vine." What's he talking about there, the true vine? You ever thought about that? You ever searched about that? You'll find that Israel believed that they were the vine that God blessed, that they were the vine of God's blessing in the world. If they're part of the vine of God's blessing, it's because through the lineage of the Jewish people and the Jewish nation came the true vine, the Holy Son of God. But my friend, he identified himself. If you want God's power and God's blessing and God's fruit, it comes from me. It doesn't come from a nation. It doesn't come from a religion. It doesn't come from man. It comes from the Savior and him alone. I am the true vine. I have the life-giving force that can put joy in your heart, in your life. Why are Christians joyful? Because of changed fruit. We see that pictured in Galatians chapter 5. The works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. Say, well, you know, I've got that love down and joy is, you know, pretty much okay and peace. Now that long suffering, my wife said, I'm not too good on that. And my kids don't say it, and the gentleness is very strong right now, but you know, you realize that it's a combo deal. It's kind of like going to Sam's. Kind of like going to Sam's. Now, I don't have a Sam's card, but I know people who do, and so I go with them. And when you go to Sam's Club, you get stuff in bulk, don't you? You get big bags of stuff, big boxes of stuff, a whole case of cans of things. You go to Publix and you can get one or two if you want. You don't get one or two at Sam's. You get the whole bushel, you know. And the Holy Spirit, when he fills a believer, someone who's saved is now surrendered and filled by the Holy Spirit of God. There's a difference between being saved and being Spirit-filled. Spirit-filling can take, salvation takes place once in a person's life. Spirit-filling happens over and over and over, sometimes in the same day. Should be a daily thing. Moment by moment, living in the power of the Spirit of God. And when that happens, guess what? He gives us the Sam's Club type product. He gives us His fruit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. We have the personality and characteristics and traits of Jesus Christ. It's not something we shop for. I need some more grace now. I need some more love now. I need some more joy. If we're filled with the Spirit of God, we have new fruit. So Christians are joyful because of that, but also Christians are joyful because of a church family. Not just changed fruit, but a church family. When you're away from your church for a while, and you come back, and you hear the choir get up and open in the service, I know what I'm talking about here. I don't know about you, but it just affects me. I'm home again. And there's something wonderful about being back in the family. The Bible talks about in verse 12, look at it please. This is my commandment, that you love one another. It's in the family, it's in the church that we hear the Word of God, that we hear the commandments of God's Word. My friend, we ought not hesitate to say, thus saith the Lord. You know, we ought not be bashful when God has been confident. We ought not be quiet when God has been fervent. We live in a day that's trying to hush. Shh, hush, don't say anything. Don't say anything about that. And we had a dear family that's visiting with us this Sunday morning, this morning. And I was talking with them on the phone, and they're moving to this area, and they visited our church this morning. They told me, they said, a year ago in Delaware, where they live, a year ago, that state, that they outlawed spanking of children completely. I mean, it's against the law. School, at home, parents, it's against the law in the state of Delaware to spank your children. Biblical chastening, biblical corporal punishment, discipline is against the law, an arrestable offense. I'm not talking about abuse. There's no reason to abuse a child. God gave, hopefully, parents the good common sense to teach and to break the will, but not break the spirit of a child. And for their good. And the Bible talks about that over and over and over in Proverbs and Hebrews and all throughout. But our world is choosing to disagree with what God says. And this world's doing such a great job with the next generation that they have to be right, right? The same state, one month ago in Delaware, they made it state law that all public restrooms must be gender neutral. State law. So you go to Shoney's or you go to Walmart or you go whatever, and whatever restroom you want to go into is totally fine. Come on, what? Folks, we have a lot of bad things to look forward to if Jesus tarries his coming. And it's not a shock and not a surprise, and doesn't mean that God has failed. Because the Bible says that things are going to get worse and worse. 2 Timothy chapter 2 tells us this. So when we come together as a church family, what a joy it is, what a haven of rest, what a pleasure it is to be amongst the children of God. We listen to God's word. We labor in God's work. This is my commandment, that you love one another. Verse 13 says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You know, sometimes we think that is, you know, just simply taking a bullet for somebody, laying down our life. What if it just has to also to do with laying down what we were doing to help someone else in need, to step into some ministry I would sing in the choir, I would play an instrument in the orchestra, I would do that, but you know what? I've got so many things going on Sunday afternoon, I just can't afford that practice time. You know, I know, and if I do it, I want to do it right and do it full and give it my all and all that kind of thing. And I just don't think I can lay down my life. I don't think I can put my life on pause to teach that Sunday school class. That would take a lot of preparation. And that Good News Club on for an hour and a half, you know, I've got a lot of things going on Fridays and Tuesdays and things, and I just don't really have that much time to devote to children that have an eternal soul, and I just don't think I can sit there and listen to them quote Bible verses to me. I just don't think I could do that. Listen, when we get together as the family of God, everybody does something. And if everyone doesn't do something, guess what? If the work's going to get done, some people are going to try to do everything. And they're just going to work themselves to death. That sometimes happens. And of course, they get to heaven and we wonder why they've got all the crowns and the huge mansion. And why ours was burnt up and is gone. But when you get together with the church family, it's great. It's like soldiers, you know, coming back to base, to headquarters, and swapping war stories and what happened on visitation, you know, and knocking on doors, going to Deltona, and this guy, you know, comes out and I don't want it. You know, I'm Catholic. Well, wonderful. That's wonderful. I'm glad you're in a church somewhere. We're not trying to take you away from your own church. We're just wanting to give you a Bible. Well, how much does it cost? No, there's no fee, there's no charge. And to see God melt that man's heart and soften him down and realize that we're not soliciting anything. We're giving them just as God gave to us the wonderful news of salvation. Listen to God's word. We labor in God's work and we look for God's will. We look for God's will. That's not just for young people. It's not just for folks like teenagers, like Melody, that came forward and said, I want to make public what God has revealed to me in my heart. Moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, there are folks that go to the mission field in their 50s. It happens, folks. Because they say, Lord, here am I. What do you want to do in my life? Look at verse 14, please. Ye are my friends if ye what? Do whatsoever I command you. Not think about it. Not dwell on it. Not saying, yeah, it's a good thing. I'll try to get with that. No, we simply do it. I have a little app that I carry around. And it comes up on my computer and I print out and it helps me with my week. And I've got to-do lists on there. And it's exciting to me. I have a little party when I cross things off the to-do list. You know? I have a little button beside my desk. It's a little red button I got from Staples or somewhere. And I hit that thing. That was easy. I did something. I accomplished something. There's satisfaction in that. Hey, listen, when we do what the Lord told us to do, there's joy in that. When we spend time in the Word of God because we know we should, and then after we do, we're glad we did. There's joy. Why are Christians joyful? Because of her changed fruit, he's changed her life. Because of her church family. All the things that we enjoy. And listen, folks, I know that God has a blessing for you for coming to church tonight. Probably some of you maybe thought, I don't really have to go. I mean, it's thundering and lightning. It always thunders and lightens in Florida. What's new about that? I've got a headache. The barometric pressure is affecting my knees. You know, I've got all this, that, and the other. There's something good coming on TV. Maybe, I don't know. But you said, no, I need to be in church. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as a manner of as some is. But we're to even step it up as we see the day approaching. Because of our church family. A little boy was asked the question, what's your church all about? He didn't know doctrine. He was 10 years old. He didn't know what his church believed, you know, about the virgin birth and the inspiration of the Word of God and on and on and on. He didn't understand a lot of those kinds of things. And so the guy that he was pitching the ball with, he was just asking him, what's your church like? What's it all about? He couldn't really think of a good answer. And so he said this. He said, well, my church is the getting saved place. It's the getting saved place. When it's all said and done, if our church is not the getting saved place, we've missed it. We've missed it. It can be a great place to have friends and social acquaintances and all that kind of thing. But if we miss our purpose, and that is our purpose, is the Great Commission to spread the gospel and to see folks saved. And when folks walk the aisle and say, I've trusted Christ as my Savior, I got saved at RU, I got saved on visitation, I got saved after church, I got saved, you know, and they give their testimony of what Jesus Christ has done in their heart and life. It does a person good. You want to be happy when you go to the hospital? You've heard pastors say this, haven't you? Go visit the nursery. There's joy at the nursery, just like there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. Why are we Christians joyful? Because of our changed fruit, because of our church family, and last, because of our chosen future. Look at verse 16, please, as we close. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever you should ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. A chosen future. I don't understand everything about the thought that God chose me before I chose him. All I have to understand is that God knows everything, and he knew I was going to choose him. He knew of my own free will I was going to choose him. And to say that I do not have a free will, that God destined me to be saved and I had no say in it, you'd have to say also that God destined Adam to sin and that he had no will to do anything else. Folks, that's heresy. That's heresy. God gave man a choice. And the fact that I chose the way of salvation, that I chose Jesus Christ, and I later found out that he chose me before I ever chose him. He knew me before I ever knew him. That gives me. And he ordained me that I would go and bring forth fruit. I have a chosen future. I have a future that's been chosen for me. I can read about some of it in Revelation. I can read about some of it in John chapter 14. I can read about some of it in 1 Corinthians 15. I can read about the future that God has for me. And I'll tell you something, it will pick me up when I am down. It will put joy in my heart. Why are Christians joyful? We know where we're headed. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures They're laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, so I won't feel at home in this world anymore. Why are Christians joyful? At this point, right before I close the service, Hope, I'm going to ask you to come. I'm going to ask you to sing this song. It's amazing how songs can minister to hearts so much better than sermons sometimes. I think it's why David was so effective. He was the sweet singer of Israel. I want you to listen to this song that I've asked Hope to sing, and then we'll close the service. Joy comes in the morning. David came to a place in his life that he said, Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. He didn't ask for him to restore his salvation. He knew better than that. He knew he was safe and secure in God's love, but he needed a refreshment of God's joy. God's joy will carry you through the darkest hours. The darkest hour means dawn is just in sight. Hold on, my child. I don't know what you came in here carrying and what burdens you have here today, but God knows. And maybe God can minister right there in your seat. Maybe He can do that. Or maybe he would be honored if you publicly step out and just bow the knee and say, Lord, I'm here because I need joy back in my life. That is the one thing that the world doesn't have. They have roller coasters and happiness. They have amusement parks, but they don't have joy. I want that freshness in my life once again. Amen. Let's bow our heads together, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Dear Lord Jesus, we love you for loving us first. And you know that this life gets difficult and the battle rages on. And we all wear a target that Satan is shooting at, trying to hinder us and try to discourage us. But Lord, there's no reason for us to quit, even though he whispers that into our ears. Lord, may there be today some great victories, some victories that will carry believers on through tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday and throughout this week. Lord, may they leave here tonight, sensing the joy of the Holy Spirit with joy unspeakable and full of glory. That comes from you, Lord. It comes from our surrendering, our confessing, and our spending time with you. Now, Lord, may that start tonight. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Would you stand with me in attitude of prayer, heads bowed, eyes closed, everyone standing. The instruments are going to play something softly, perhaps softly and tenderly. Jesus is calling, calling. He's calling us. He has thoughts of peace and not evil thoughts, thoughts of joy for us. Perhaps if you said, you know, I need to have that joy back in my heart, not just something I sing about, but something I feel in my life that comes from him, won't you come to him tonight? Perhaps God has done something in your life that you need to make public here. You need to follow the Lord obediently. I invite you to come. Whatever God speaks to your heart about, would you surrender right here, right now? I don't know what tomorrow holds, but God holds that tomorrow, and he's speaking to your heart for a reason. As the instruments play, would you come? Would you come? If God has spoken to your heart, maybe you just need to spend some time with him in prayer. If God's leading you, you obey his voice, would you please? If you can't obey him at church, you're not going to obey him at work. That's all there is to it. That's right. Come on. If God has spoken to your heart, you come too. Would you? Would you? He says, come home. I trust you have that joy. I trust there's not a time in your life that you would say, that I was ever closer to God than I am now. If you would say that, that by definition means that you're backslidden. Oh, come back to God. Come back to Bible reading. Come back to prayer. Come back to service. While these are praying, sing it with me, would you please?
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See, on the portals, he's waiting and watching, watching, and for me.
Here's what he says, come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home.
Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling. Come home.
Lord Jesus, I pray that the victories that are being won here in our hearts would be just the tip of the iceberg of what you're doing in the hearts of others. But Lord, I thank you, and I pray that you give a special blessing to to the folks that said, I don't care what anyone else thinks about me. I want that joy back in my life. I want the closeness. I want the unity. I want the filling of the Holy Spirit in my life. I don't want it to just stay at church and it was a good day at church. But Lord, I want it on Sunday night after church. And I want on Monday morning. And I want on Tuesday. I want to have that close walk with the Lord. Thank you for what you've done in our midst. I pray for our young people in this church. Pray that you put a hedge of protection about them. Lord, we plead the blood of Jesus Christ upon each and every one. I pray, God, you'd protect them from the evil one. Lord, you told us to pray in that way. And Lord, I ask that you would raise them up and direct them and empower them. Lord, use them mightily. I pray for parents and grandparents here. I ask you, God, that we would be, as 1 John, a great example in how that each one has overcome the wicked one. Lord, I pray we'd set a good example for these young people, I pray. We ask these things, trusting you in Jesus' precious name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, don't want to rush anyone. This time is precious. Just wait patiently if you would. God's still working in hearts. Won't you pray that God will continue to win great victories? And all God's people said, amen. God bless you. Maybe.